The following is a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.
What did Jesus mean by, "Let this cup pass from me"? Well, that's what we're going to talk about on our Wednesday edition of Grace in Focus. Hi, I'm Lucas Kitchen with Grace Evangelical Society. Thank you so much for listening. We're taking questions from listeners not so unlike yourself. Zap us your questions through email, radio@faithalone.org. We've got a few questions to answer today, so let's go right to this discussion with Dr. Bob Wilkin and Sean Lazar. Here's Grace in Focus.
Welcome to Grace in Focus. My name is Sean.
Hi, I'm Bob.
We're taking your questions on the Bible and theology. I don't know. I just have some tough, hypothetical, pretty weird questions, okay? Are you ready for that?
I hope so.
We had one last episode.
You filtered out the worst one.
If it just doesn't make any sense, I just filter them out. But sometimes they make sense. Like, actually, you handed me this one. So this is one from Joseph. And Joseph says, I was looking at Jesus' time of prayer in the Garden of Gethsemane and had a question regarding the choice before Jesus. Obviously, Jesus sought to do the Father's will, which was for him to be the sacrifice for sin, and that's what he willfully accepted to do. But was Jesus free to go to the cross? Would it have been considered sinful if Jesus had decided he couldn't do it, if he decided he couldn't take the separation from God? In other words, was there a real option for Jesus regarding this matter, or was his continuing fellowship with God contingent upon accepting the burden? Okay, so there's a bunch of questions here.
Well,
but was Jesus free to go to the cross, and was there a real option for him not to?
Yes, he was free to go to the cross. No, there was not a real option not to go to the cross.
All right, so explain that. That's okay. A Calvinist answer. We're free, but not free.
My point is, he obviously had the ability to do what the Father gave him. In fact, not only had the ability, his character and nature is such that he must do the will of the Father. He could not do anything contrary to the will of the Father. Therefore,
so he was not free. There wasn't a real option not to go.
Well, when you ask, was he free to do it? That is, was he able to do it? And the answer is yes. But if you ask, was he able not to do it? The answer would be no. So it depends on what you mean by free. In other words, I view us in eternity future as to be free creatures. Even though we can't sin, we'll be free to obey because that's what we want to do, and we're going to do it forever. But I see from a philosophical standpoint, you might not call that free.
They would say that's not free.
All right, I get that. But here would be my point, and this is Joseph's question.
Yeah.
When he says, would it have been sin for Jesus not to go to the cross,
the answer is yes.
Because we have commands, right?
Right.
The Father tells us to love one another. If we don't love one another, is that sin?
Yeah,
that's
sure.
A sin of omission, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Take, for example, James 2. You see a brother or sister who doesn't have enough food or clothing, and you say, hey, peace out, be filled and be warm, but you don't give them what's necessary for the body. That's sin, right?
Right, sin of omission.
Sin of omission. If the Father sends Jesus to die on the cross for our sins, and he refuses to do that, that would be sin.
Sure, that would be sin.
And since Jesus can't sin, Jesus didn't have the option of not going. Now, let me point out something that's a bit puzzling, because he brings up Gethsemane. Jesus does pray and say, Father, if it's possible, let this cup pass from me, but not my will, but thy will be done. Remember that one?
Yeah.
And the way that's normally interpreted is this way. Father, if it's possible, let's pick some other way than the cross.
Right.
But I don't want my will, but your will to be done. So I'm submitting to your will, but is there some other way?
Yes.
Now, that was the view, for example, of Zane Hodges, my mentor. And this is one of the few areas he and I disagreed on. I remember when I was in seminary, Dr. Craig Blazing was one of my professors, and he shared a view in one of our classes, and he suggested that what Jesus was saying is not my will, which is to go to the cross, but your will. He says, the reason I'm going to the cross is because that's your will. And when he says, let this cup pass from me, he's not saying, hey, is there some other way? He's saying, I want to drink this cup right now. That's how the cup of wrath passed in the Old Testament. When you read this concept, it had to be drunk. That's the only way it would pass. And so what Jesus is saying is, let me go to the cross now. Remember all along, in fact, in John 2, he told his mother, my hour is not yet come.
Yeah.
And all through John's gospel, my hour is not yet come, my hour is not. But yet when he gets to Gethsemane, my hour has come.
So what would be the struggle then in Gethsemane? Just timing? Jesus is really excited about going to the cross. He's excited about the pain and suffering on your view, right? So,
well, I don't know about can't wait for it to happen, but well, we're told in Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 2, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, despising the shame. So did he despise the shame? Yes. Did he endure the cross? Yes.
Yeah.
But why did he do it? For the joy set before him.
Right.
He knew there were going to be many blessings that resulted. For example, if he didn't do this, there would be no kingdom. There would be no citizens of the kingdom.
Right.
Because apart from the death of Messiah, nobody could have everlasting life. So Jesus had joy in thinking of all the millions and millions and hundreds of millions and maybe billions of people who would have an everlasting life as a result of what he was about to do. So was he drawn to it? Absolutely. Remember in Matthew 16, he told the disciples, the Son of Man is going to Jerusalem and he's going to be mistreated by the chief priests and the scribes
and
put to death, and on the third day he'll rise. When he came to Jerusalem, he came to die.
Sure, yeah.
Willingly.
Yeah.
And of course, when they came out to arrest him, they all fall down before him like dead men, and he's like, get up, you got to arrest me.
Right,
I mean,
right.
I'm kind of paraphrasing. But he submitted to arrest.
Right.
So he was the one in control. He was the one with the power. I mean, I understand the view, Zane Hodges, and I believe that's your view, right?
That I think it's most Christians' view.
And they would say that
the humanity,
he was... Okay, the problem
and
I
so
have...
And so he had to submit his human will to the divine will, just the same way we all need to learn to submit. And so there's that struggle there.
But see, the problem I have with that is Jesus in his humanity was perfect. He wasn't just man. He was perfect man, incapable of sinning in his humanity.
Yeah, again, we've talked about this before.
And I know you don't agree.
And I don't agree.
And I don't think...
I think he was perfect because he obeyed.
Okay, let's look at it this way. In his deity, could he have sinned?
Well, that's a whole other question.
But almost all evangelicals would say no. In his deity, he couldn't sin because God cannot sin.
Yeah, that's another question.
All right.
If you want to go really deep into it, here's the question. Why do we say God gave us free will? It's so that we can have genuine love and good, right? Because otherwise we'd be robots.
Yeah.
And so what the philosophers ask is, do we just make God a robot? If God can only do certain things, then is he really capable of genuine love and good if he's not free to do anything else?
Well, of course he's not free to sin. Scripture says God cannot lie.
Well, see,
is he free to lie? No. Well,
so the philosophers say the reason why God is good is because he chooses to do good. He specifically does not choose to do evil. He chooses to do good. That's why he's praiseworthy. He chooses to love as opposed to the other options, which is why he's praiseworthy. Otherwise, he would be a robot, and so none of his love or goodness would be real. It's kind of the questions that people ask, but it's probably too involved for this podcast.
It may be too beyond me, but the simple way I look at it is this. God is, and God is a certain way. God is love, so God can't act contrary to love. Now, of course, he's also just, so he can, and he does judge people. But God cannot lie. God cannot do evil. And so there are many things God cannot do because of his nature. And in my view, Jesus in his humanity was perfect man. Therefore, he could not sin in his humanity either. Any more than once we die, are we going to be able to sin?
Well, that's a whole other question. Because if we can't sin in the future, why wouldn't God have created us like that in the first place? What would have been the purpose?
We don't know.
If God could have created people who were only capable of good and love, why wouldn't he have just started off that way?
We don't know.
Well, usually people say it's because he created us with free will, because without free will, you can't have genuine love and relationship and goodness. And so if you're going to create creatures with free will, you risk them choosing to do evil. But it was worth it to God because he wanted genuine love. But then that same logic should apply to God himself. If free will... the ability to choose evil is necessary for love and goodness, then you'd think God would have free will. And if it's not necessary for God, then why would it have been necessary for us?
I don't think it was necessary for us.
But he did it.
Because God, being omniscient, knew this was the best of all possible options.
Well, clearly the best option would have been a place where there was no sin, where we were just doing good and love all eternity. And
it may seem clear to us, but right. since God did it this way, this is the best option. God's not going to do the second best option.
I don't know. Or maybe there is no such thing as a best option.
Well, okay, then you have a different issue.
Right.
But see, you're more philosophical than I am. I'm thinking more in concrete terms that we know God cannot lie. So God was never free to lie. He never will be free to lie. And in eternity future, you and I won't be free to lie. Yeah. And that's not part of humanity. Why God allowed Adam and Eve the opportunity to sin? Well, we're not told in Scripture.
Yeah, lots of I have lots of questions. And I think a lot of the answers, frankly, don't make sense to me. But I'm okay with that because I don't even understand
how to fix my sink. Joseph has asked us a plumbing question.
Well, here, Bob, I don't know if we have time for one last question. Maybe you can answer quickly. But part of Joseph's question involves the idea that Jesus would have been separated from God on the cross. Do you want to say something about that?
Yes, and most people in Christianity believe Jesus not only died physically on the cross, but he also died spiritually. And I understand that because by dying spiritually, they don't mean he lost everlasting life. Of course, Jesus didn't have everlasting life. Jesus is everlasting life. And he remained everlasting life the whole time on the cross. So nobody thinks Jesus ceased being everlasting life. What people think is that he no longer was in fellowship with God the Father and God the Holy Spirit for those 6 hours. But, of course, they've got to really reduce that because he was praying to Jesus at the beginning, my God, why have you forsaken me?
Jesus was praying to the Father.
Jesus was praying to the Father, and he's quoting Psalm 22. And at the end, of course, he says, into thy hands I commit my spirit. So he obviously wasn't out of fellowship for the whole 6 hours. Mm. I would argue he wasn't out of fellowship at all. I think the issue was physical death. But even if you take the issue as, okay, because he bore our sins, he was out of fellowship with the Father for 6 hours. Okay, I get how people go there. But the point is, Jesus could not have skipped the cross because that would have been a sin of omission. Mm. That was something he was incapable of doing. I hope that helps. And Joseph, very deep questions.
Thank you guys for that great discussion. Maybe you'd like to go deeper on the subjects that we cover in this show. And if that's the case, we would love for you to come visit us at our website, faithalone.org. That's faithalone.org. On our site, we have free magazine subscription. We have teaching videos, podcasts, blog posts, all kinds of free materials that are designed to help you grow and mature in your understanding of Scripture and faith. So come visit us at faithalone.org, faithalone.org. This show and all of our ministries are made possible from the generous donations of listeners just like you. I hope that you might consider becoming a financial partner with the Grace Evangelical Society. If so, you can find out how on faithalone.org. We love to hear from listeners just like you. Maybe you've got a question or a comment or some feedback. If you do, we want to hear from you. So here's our email address. It's radio@faithalone.org. radio@faithalone.org. Tomorrow we're going to talk about Laodicea, so join us for that. I'm Lucas Kitchen with Grace Evangelical Society. And until next time, let's keep grace in focus.
The proceeding has been a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.